Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Welcome to Totally Whole Blog Talk Radio. It's good to be here once again on this Monday evening. And many of us are preparing for Christmas. But tonight I want us to really look at how to have a spiritually satisfying and bright Christmas. We have heard about events that are taking place all over the world, events that have taken place right here in the U.S. with acts of terrorism. There is so much that's going on that many people are not in a Christmas mood, so to speak. We look at continuous and repeated incidents of police brutality. We see crime running rampant. And there's a term that we keep hearing. It's called political correctness. And with political correctness, many are saying that because of political correctness, we have failed to use common sense. If we see something that looks peculiar, we don't want to point it out for fear of being intolerant of persons from certain racial groups or Middle Eastern descent or those of the Islamic faith in light of the recent acts of terrorism. And I've been listening to that term, politically correct, and in many cases, being politically correct means that you don't take a stand on one thing or the other. So you end up diluting the real message that needs to be sent, and therefore we can continue to put ourselves in harm's way because we are afraid of being labeled as intolerant. But that whole term of political correctness has been applied to Christmas. And we all know that during the holidays, there are parties. And many people are concerned about having what's called a Christmas party. And so you have to have holiday parties so that you want to be politically correct and not to offend anyone. But I want us to look at how political correctness has taken Christ out of Christmas. And we look at the origins of Christmas. And I don't want to debate whether December 25th is actually the birth date of Jesus Christ. And many people know that it's not the actual birth date. But we celebrate Christmas because we celebrate the birth of Christ, regardless to when he was born. But it's the meaning of the Christmas holiday. And we look at the origins of Christmas. It was meant to be a solution to a dark world, very similar to the world that we live in today. So before we go into details on this topic, I want to throw the question out to my listeners. How are you celebrating Christmas? So for the next 45 to 60 minutes, I will be looking at that subject. And for those of you who might be listening for the first time, I am Dr. Cook. Some people call me Dr. Rose, Dr. Rosemary, but Dr. Cook, who is the founder of Totally Whole Pastoral Counseling Services, where we deal with issues related to mental health and spirituality. And this radio show will highlight issues related to spirituality, issues that affect our mental health, our emotional health, issues that help us to be whole, mind, body, and spirit. So what is the real meaning of Christmas. So for tonight, I've chosen a passage of scripture coming from the book of Isaiah. Isaiah was one of the major prophets in the Old Testament. The 42nd chapter, verses 1 through 9. And as we read this scripture, it brings to life what Jesus' birth was all about. So I want to read a few verses from the New International Version. Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations. He will not shout or cry out or raise his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. In faithfulness he will bring forth justice. He will not falter or be discouraged till he establishes justice on earth. In his teaching, the islands will put their hope. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I will take hold of your hand. I will keep you and make you to be a covenant for the people and a light for the Gentiles, to open eyes that are blind, to free captives from prison, and to release from the dungeon those who sit in darkness. This is a prophecy concerning Jesus Christ, who is referred to as the servant of the Lord. So this whole Christmas season, the days and weeks before Christmas Day, is called the Advent season. And Advent means expectation. So this is a season where we are expecting something. We are anticipating the celebration of something. And for Christians, we celebrate the birth of the Messiah, the Savior, who has promised to bring peace on earth and goodwill towards men. So right now, my listeners, many of you all are preparing for Christmas by way of putting up your Christmas tree. You're hanging lights, you're putting wreaths all around, inside and outside of your home. You're buying all types of ornaments. Maybe it's the snowman or your Christmas Santa Claus, and you're putting ornaments on your lawn, on your windows, on your doors. And we are anticipating Christmas Day. But the truth is, everyone is not able to celebrate Christmas in the way that the world would dictate that it be celebrated, because I just mentioned some things that are happening in our world: terrorism, poverty, sickness, death, family drama, loved ones hating one another, arguments between spouses, parents and children not getting along, sibling rivalry, problems on the job, injustice in our world, black-on-black crime, and so many other problems that distract our attention from celebrating Christmas to wanting to lament, which means to break down in tears, because there's no reason to celebrate when you are focused on all of the problems in your life and in our world. So everyone is not in a celebratory mood. But if we could put on our spiritual caps, if we could just get into a spirit of Christmas and understand that the season of Christmas is meant to bring hope. This Advent season is meant to bring joy. It is meant to bring us some peace and light to those of us who live with the issues that life brings us. And that's all of us, because we are all going through something, or we may be just coming out of something, or we are headed for something. So think about what you might be going through right now. You might be looking at your paycheck, and you know that you don't have enough money to even pay your bills, let alone buy Christmas gifts. You might be dealing with stress on your job, supervisors who might be hounding you, coworkers who might be belligerent and disrespectful and not kind. And we talked about the family problems that you might be dealing with. You might have just experienced a loss, or this season is reminding you of your loved one who's no longer here. Maybe you got a bad report from the doctor, so you're dealing with this diagnosis. Perhaps you are alone. Maybe you're dealing with the empty nest, or maybe you have dealt with abandonment or the death or divorce or separation from a loved one. So the truth is, none of us are exempt from problems. We all are dealing with something in one form or another. But as I thought about the meaning of Christmas, how to have a satisfying and bright Christmas, we can't have a bright Christmas without focusing on light. The scripture in John 1 and 4 says that in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shined in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. The darkness could not understand the light. And again, in John 8 and 12, it says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Is your Christmas light? Is your Christmas filled with brightness or darkness? Jesus is the light of the world. Let's go get some definitions for light. One definition for light is a form of radiant energy, brightness, illumination, mental illumination, knowledge, information, enlightenment, or spiritual inspiration. Light. Light is also used to show the way. And the scripture says that the word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Light is symbolic with Christmas. So Isaiah, who is Isaiah? Isaiah is a prophet, and he is prophesying 700 years before the birth of Jesus Christ. And during this time in history, the nation of Israel is struggling with questions of who can bring some light to us, who can bring justice, and who can bring some peace into our turbulent world of darkness, of evil, and injustice. No different from what Israel is experiencing right now. No different from what we are experiencing, the spiritual Israel, the Gentiles, those of us who are believers in Christ. We struggle with the same questions of where can we find peace and where can we find justice and how do we eradicate evil. So the nation of Israel, they were struggling with questions of who could bring light, but also struggling with their identity as a people. Who are we? After all, they were in captivity. They were taken away from their homeland, taken away from what was familiar to them, taken away from family and friends, and they were held as prisoners in Babylon. So for Israel, it was a time of darkness. But isn't it wonderful that during our own times of darkness, how God brings relief. He brings a word. He brings a prophet. He brings a message. So Jesus, God rather, had Isaiah to prophesy to the Israelites who were living during this dark time in history to give them a word. So we who are the spiritual Israel, living in a dark time in our world, there's evil. Many hearts have waxed cold. There is so much hatred. There are acts of evil, lying, cheating, stealing, backbiting. And I'm talking about those who call themselves Christians or engaging in this type of behavior one towards another. Our world is dark. Our leaders are falling, and many of our leaders are failing to uphold a standard of righteousness, right living, right acting, and right standing. So we truly need a word from God. We need a word that will bring some light to our darkness. Injustice? Certainly we see injustice on a regular basis. Right now, here in Baltimore, one of the police officers is on trial for the murder of the young guy. It's escaping me. So we have injustice, Freddie Gray. So police brutality is continuing to occur on unarmed citizens. And we talk about injustice as relates to finances. We see the rich getting richer and the poor getting poorer. What about our senior citizens? With the high cost of health care, they have to choose between getting prescription filled or paying their bills. Injustice is rampant. What about injustice as it relates to education and fair housing? Our schools are overrun with a substandard education. There is violence in our schools, and there's drug activity in the schools and around the schools and in the playgrounds. There's no family unity. Families are deteriorating. Disruption of family unity because of individualism and self-seeking motives and desires. Where is the family unity today? So our world is dark. There is injustice. Where is the light? This passage of scripture in Isaiah 42 introduces one who is able to address the darkness of the times. And he speaks of Jesus Christ, the one who will address righteousness, justice, darkness, and bring deliverance. So Jesus has the answer to our problem. So he announces in chapter 42, verse 1, here is my servant, my chosen one. I will put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations. So what basically the scripture is saying, that those idols that you thought would bring you justice won't do it. Your legislators are not going to bring justice. They're not going to bring truth. Your chiefs of police, your commissioner, your leaders of your community, even the priests in the passage weren't going to bring light. But this passage reminds us that the only way there will be justice, truth, and light in this world will be through the ministry of Jesus Christ, God's servant. He alone is our eternal source of joy, righteousness, peace, and compassion. Sure, people can be just. People can promote joy, and people can promote right living. But Jesus Christ can provide all of these things on an eternal, everlasting basis. He won't get tired. He won't get weary. He won't get angry and stop being our source of righteousness, our source of justice, our source of joy, peace, and compassion. So we look at what Isaiah is really talking about. In verse 1, he talks about how God called Jesus Christ to fulfill this role. Jesus was the chosen one to bring justice. And Jesus, being the servant, has compassion. Because God called him and chose him, he knew the kind of disposition that the world would need. In this dark world, we need some compassion. We need our leaders to demonstrate compassion to those who are sick, those who are in poverty, those who are dealing with injustice. So Isaiah says he will not shout or cry out or raise his voice in the streets. So Jesus was unassuming. He wasn't a person who bragged. He did not promote himself. He wasn't trying to build a reputation or a public following. But Jesus just went about doing the work of the one who sent him, promoting justice and helping those who needed help. So verse 3 says, a bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. This is a description of the kind of people Jesus was attracted to. Jesus, who was the Lord's servant, he came to care for those who were bruised and those who were broken. And then it says those whose flickering light of faith had almost been extinguished. So who are bruised reeds? So bruised reeds are tall pieces of grass that grew by riverbanks and swamps. And people would collect the good pieces of the grass, and they would make walking canes, and they would make sandals. And then there would be children who would play by the river and would cut down the grass and roll them up and hollow them out, and they would make flutes, beautiful instruments. But they would take the bruised reeds and the cracked reeds, and they would get thrown away. So these were the reeds that really had no use. But there were thousands of other reeds to choose from. And the bruised and the cracked reeds weren't good for anything anyway. So this passage of scripture is referring to those people who have been bruised by life. Those who were bruised by the inconsiderate things that people have said to them and the things that people had done to them. It refers to those who have been bruised as a result of domestic violence, or verbal abuse, or physical and emotional abuse. Bruised reeds are people who are weak and people who struggle every day to make their way. Bruised reeds are those who struggle with mental illness, those who have physical illnesses, those who have handicaps, those who are homeless or who are addicted, who are hurting, who are fatherless, those who are lonely. Those are the bruised reeds, people just like you and I. And some people are quick to dispense with bruised reeds, people who are different, those who suffer, those who are hurting, and are quick to write them off, considering bruised reeds as losers, as good for nothing, those who are don't count for anything. But I'm so glad that during this season we have a Savior who is not like that. He is God with us. So that means he comes with us and he sits with us No matter how bruised we feel, no matter how weak or discouraged we might feel, he comes to us in the midst of the negative things that people have spoken over your life. And Jesus says, I love you anyway. He says, there's no such thing as a throwaway person. There's no such thing as a disposable Christian. So even today, my listeners, some of you might feel like the bruised reed. Some of you might be hurting. Maybe you have been the victim of violence, verbal violence, domestic violence, emotional violence. Maybe you've been discarded by someone. Maybe the words of what someone has said are haunting you right now. But Jesus, who is the light of the world, he says, I will heal you, I will strengthen you, and I will love you forever until you get justice in your life. God is a God of justice. He says, I will never give up on you as long as you don't give up on me. Be faithful to me, and I promise I'm going to be faithful to you. And I can just imagine a Jesus, our servant. He's bending over and he's giving his full attention to the bruised reeds. He's stretching out the bruised reeds who have been bent over, who have been stepped on. He's supporting your limbs. He's restoring you to who you were intended to be. He's making you useful when other people might have seen you as useless. So that's what Jesus does for us. He brings us up out of some horrible pits. He sets our feet on some solid rocks. He will not break a bruised reed in a smoldering wick. He will not snuff out. So what that says is that we who have gone through trials in life, we might have a little bit of oil left. Like a little oil lamp that's almost out of oil. The flame is down to a flicker. And the wick is just down to a glowing ember. And so there are those who are like those smoldering wicks. But Jesus, he gently blows on us to fan us back to life. Think about these lamps that in the Old Testament that people would use. They didn't have electricity. So what they used were lamps. And these lamps looked like an Aladdin's lamp, almost like a gravy dispenser. And these lamps had an open top. And the bowls were filled with oil, and they contained a wick made of flax or linen. And as long as the wick would stay moist with the oil, it would burn. But when the oil would burn out, the wick would smolder and burn, and it would give off smoke. And the thing to do would be to throw it away because it has no use. Because there was plenty of good flax where the wick came from. But the encouragement that's in this scripture is that Jesus will not snuff out your smoldering wick. He won't dispose of you. And many of my listeners this evening feel like smoldering wicks. You used to be shining for the Lord. You used to be vibrant. You used to have a glow about you. But because of the cares of life, because of situations that you found yourself in, today you might be spiritually burned out. You might be just emotionally spent. Maybe physically you are just tired and can't take any more. The pressures of life may have taken their toll upon you. Illness or loss or disappointment might have caused you to feel a sense of helplessness or hopelessness. Maybe because of life's challenges, you don't pray like you used to. Maybe your scripture reading is not consistent, and the flaming desire you once had for God has gone down to a flicker. But what Isaiah is saying, he says, and a smoldering wick God will not snuff out, is that Jesus won't give up on you, even if you've given up on yourself. Jesus is better to us than we have been to ourselves. And it says that he will not falter or be discouraged until he leads justice to victory. So what that says is, my listeners, even if your circumstances seem a little dim, Jesus won't give up on you. Because Jesus will stay with you until you experience victory. Jesus is for you. He will fan the flames of your life. He will encourage you. He will strengthen you. He will support you. And even right now, he's upholding you with his right hand until you experience victory. Victory over what? Victory over your depression. Victory over your addiction. Victory over injustice. The way that you've been treated, the way you have been dealt with. Jesus won't give up on you until you experience victory over that situation. Victory over the storms of your life. Victory over the losses that you have incurred. That's the promise that Jesus makes to us. And then, not only does he make that promise, but he will be committed to the end. It says, in faithfulness, he will bring forth justice. He will not falter or be discouraged till he establishes justice on earth. And in his law, the islands will put their hope. So my question for you, my listeners, is where does your hope lie? Are you putting your hope in the government? Are you putting your hope in a president? Are you putting your hope in Congress? You putting your hope, you know, in your loved one? But this holiday season, for this Christmas season, the season that's intended to bring hope, we should place our hope on Jesus Christ. And as I close, there's a story about a man by the name of Benjamin Warfield. And Benjamin Warfield was a theology professor at Princeton Seminary. And while he was still at the height of his academic powers, his wife got sick and she became disabled. And Mr. Warfield took care of her for 10 years. And during that 10-year period, it says he never spent more than 2 hours away from his wife. Even though she was physically disabled, she still loved to read. And Dr. Warfield would sit at her bedside day after day. And he would read to her. And he was always very gentle and very caring with her. You know how some people can get impatient with those who are sick. They become easily irritated with those who are sick, and they don't have the time to deal with someone who's sick. But Mr. Warfield was patient and sat day after day beside his wife's bedside. So one day someone asked him, "Have you ever thought about taking your wife to an institution? Then you could write bigger books and have a bigger ministry." But Dr. Warfield said, "No way. My wife is my ministry, and I will never leave her side. I'm going to love her and take care of her as long as God grants us life." Awesome. But that's just the way God feels about us. He will not walk away from us like some people will. He will not abandon us. He will not throw us away like yesterday's news, as some people have done. God will minister his love and compassion towards us. He will stay faithful and committed to us, just as Dr. Warfield did for his wife. God will not falter or be discouraged till he establishes justice on earth, justice on our behalf. He will not falter until he rights the wrongs that have been done to you. He won't give up until he brings some light to your dark places. You might be in a dark place right now, but the promise is that God will not give up on you. He sent Jesus to bring light to your darkness. And the scripture reminds us in Psalm, it says, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Isaiah 49 and 15 asks the question, can a mother forget the baby in her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born, though she may forget? God says, I will not forget you. See, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands, and your walls are ever before me. So Jesus, my listeners, will never get frustrated or disgusted with any of us and say, I've had it with you. I can't take this anymore. You've blown it too many times. Jesus, the Bible reminds us, was moved with compassion when he saw the multitudes. He said that they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. And because of the persistence and the confidence that Jesus has and had for us, his ministry is what took him to the cross. He died for us because of his love and compassion for us. So the scripture reminds us that I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I will take hold of your hand. I will keep you and make you to be a covenant for the people and a light to the Gentiles. Jesus is the answer to the world's problems. He is the light for our dark times, and he made a covenant, which is an agreement to us. And the final verse, verse 7, Jesus came to do what? To open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, and from the prison those who sit in darkness. Maybe where you are sitting right now, you feel like you are in prison. Maybe you are sitting in a place of darkness, a place where you see no light. Maybe your eyes are blinded. You don't see the truth. But Jesus came to rescue us and to heal us from our blindness. And we will never see reality the way it is because of distortion, but Jesus helps us to see the truth. And Jesus, he helps us to realize that he is the reason for the season, not to get caught up in the hustle and bustle of the commercial aspects of the season, but he came to open blind eyes and to set us free from the weight of guilt, to set us free from the bondage of guilt, from the bondage of sin and condemnation. So this Christmas, Jesus is saying, if you want to have a spiritually satisfying and bright Christmas, come. Come to me. You who are weary and are heavy laden, you who sit in darkness, you who are experiencing injustice, you who are like the breeze bruised reeds, you who are like the wick that's almost gone out, come unto me, and I will give you rest. He says, my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. So Jesus, he is the light of the world, a light for our darkness, a light for our despair, a light for our disappointment. Jesus, he is the light of the world. So he says, let's walk in this light. Let's talk in this light. Come where the dewdrops of mercy shine bright. Shine all around us by day and by night, because Jesus, my listeners, is the light of the world. So how will you celebrate Jesus' birth this Christmas? How will you spread love, hope, and light? How can we put Christ back into Christmas? Do I have any listeners who might want to call and give your input? If you want to make a comment, just hit hit one on your telephone, and you can be invited into the audience. So we want to have a spiritually satisfying and bright Christmas. And we talked from the spiritual perspective of what the Word has to say. But let's talk about some practical tips. First of all, Christmas is all about giving to meet the spiritual needs of people. And when we were dead in our trespasses and sins, God gave us His Son to meet our need for forgiveness of sin and to receive the gift of eternal life. So for the next several days before Christmas, take a moment each day and begin to thank God for His indescribable gift and what He means to you personally. That's one way to have a spiritually satisfying and joyous Christmas. So focus on the truth about Jesus Christ, and you can turn to Luke, the book of Luke, because it tells you all about Jesus' birth. So choose one truth about Jesus and write it down on a card and put that card in your pocket or in your pocketbook or on your refrigerator or on your mirror, somewhere where you can see it, and focus on that one truth throughout the day. And then ask God to give you the opportunity to share that one truth with another person who might need to hear it. And if you pray, God will show you who needs to hear the good news. So often we miss the joy and peace of this holiday because we get caught up in so much activity. And women especially carry the burden of the holidays, and we try to do too much to make Christmas the way we think it should be. But the end result is that we end up stressed out, worn out, and burned out. So take time now to make a list of things you consider to be priorities for this month. Give this list to God and delete what He shows you to be unrealistic. Delete anything that will deter you from what God wants this month. And delete anything that will lead to your exhaustion. Remember that this is God's holiday. It's about the birth of His Son, Jesus Christ. And it's not about the world's holiday. Once you've made your list, take a look at the list. And where is there time for you to have leisure with God? Where is the time for you to spend with your family? Write it on your calendar. in ink. Time for me. Time for God. Time with family. Maybe you can spend that day looking at family photos. Maybe you can play some games. Maybe this is a time you want to watch a good movie, preferably a good Christian movie about the season, or anything that you enjoy. Maybe you want to spend that time with the Lord, reading the Bible, or reading a good Christian book. So write on your calendar time that you will be able to do these things. Schedule what's going to encourage and nurture your inner person. Another important tip is to set a budget. Christmas can become a financial burden. You know, we buy gifts and we end up having to incur debt that lasts for several months after Christmas. So ask God, what can I do for your kingdom this holiday? Then determine what's going to be your Christmas budget. Limit the number of gifts you give to loved ones and make giving a time for prayer, to pray about what you're going to give and who you're going to give the gift to, and help and ask God to help you find the right gift at the right price. Another tip, don't spend the holidays alone. If you don't have any family locally, or maybe you are estranged from your family, find someone else who's alone and extend the gift of hospitality. Jesus was born so that we would never be alone, but rather that we would be a part of his eternal family. So look for someone, maybe at your church, or maybe someone that you know about that you have not connected with in a while, but look for someone who really wants to connect with the family of God or with another believer, and host that person for him. Another tip, watch what you eat. Don't reward yourself with food, but because you will regret it later. Remember to eat lots of fresh fruit and vegetables, because this will give you energy. Cut down on your sugar, because it's a depressant and can wear you out and can also affect your emotions. And ask God to give you, to help you to develop the fruit of self-control. And remember that Christmas is a time of relationships. Remember the angels when they announced the birth of Jesus Christ? They said, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men." So you want to avoid those relationships that promote conflict. Refuse to go there with them. Don't enter into conversations or encounters that will disturb your celebration of the birth of Christ, because he is the Prince of Peace. And remember the passage in Isaiah says, "For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." So refuse to go there, but stay focused on the Prince of Peace, because Jesus is the Savior, and rest in him. Another tip, make sure you have plenty of light, because darkness alone can bring about depression. And on one of my other shows, I talked about seasonal affective disorder, and that this being the time of year, Thanksgiving and Christmas, where people are more likely to get depressed. So make sure that you have lots of light. Get plenty of sunlight. Turn on lights in your home. Open up the curtains wide and let the light come in. And as you bask in the light, let the light of Jesus Christ shine through you in order that you can lift the spirit of others. So remember that you are the light of the world because Jesus lives inside of you. So make it a point to spread some light wherever you go. And then the last point, fill your heart with spiritual songs. And Ephesians reminds us to sing and make melody in our heart to the Lord. So turn on the music of the season, O Holy Night. The song about the kings. So remember that Jesus, the Messiah, the Christ, has come. And he will come again soon to reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So how will you celebrate Jesus' birth? Are you feeling that heaviness lifting? Are you seeing some light as it relates to Christmas? So I'm hoping that something that was said will help you to have a different perspective on Christmas. Because there are things that we can do to promote peace, joy, a goodwill. And as we close, remember that God loves you and so do I. And it's God's desire that we be whole, nothing missing and nothing broken. So strive to walk in the light during this season. So thank you for listening and stay tuned to our general promo. Peace be with you.
Every Sunday, we start your week off right with the delightful Deletta Gillespie and Updraft. It is always an educational and informational show. Tune in on Mondays for Totally Whole with Pastor Bridget and Pastor Cook as they give you the word. Tune in on Tuesday with world-famous DJ Davey D as he plays all of your old school favorites in R&B, hip-hop, jazz, house, and rap. Join us every Thursday where there's something different. The first Thursday of the month, ladies, is for you. Total Empowerment with the owner of Simple Wellness Hair and Day Spa, Angela Hardy. On the second Thursday of the month, join Relationship Coaches, Reverend Arlene Cahet and Reverend Harvey L. Bailey on One Love, One Connection, One Us as they answer all of your relationship questions. On the third Thursday of the month, men, it's time to man up with our own Sacred Masculine, Reverend Jamel Gilliam and the Sacred Masculine Show. On the fourth Thursday of the month, join me, Reverend Harvey L. Bailey, and the Inner Consciousness as I talk about self-help. When we have a fifth Thursday of the month, you can join Reverend Arlene Cahet with the Healing Paradigms, right here on the Family Healing Circle, where we heal your mind, body, and soul every week.
Hi, Tarika.
Hi.
Yeah, I'm confused because I thought that was the purpose of having the group was to put all of the authorizations under the group.
Right, and she did put those names under the group, but not the authorization, after they're still
right.
Right. But let me go
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah. You don't think anything that has Maria's name on it?
No.
Okay, well, let me...
No, I thought it was there, but they would get another name.
Okay, well, let me look for hers.
And the rest of it don't have no name.
Okay, I will resend hers.
Okay, so I'm going to call you or text you after I call about your actions tomorrow and see. So I go under total, and then go under, the only part that I don't understand, Dr. Cook, is when I go under, when I go to enter a claim, and say, for instance, oh, you've got all of them, but why would they, if all of them go under the total whole pastor, right?
Uh huh.
Then how do I distinguish if Maria gets one? If I have to put.
Well, you might not have to, because you might. They might be wanting you to put totally whole, and then my license level L, the company. It might want you to put the company as a provider, because the company is listed as a provider. And the licensure is LCSWC, because that's what I had to do, the individual. I had to put my individual licensure level in as well as the company's. So, that would make sense if you're billing under the company and not under me, but the company is a provider, a group. The group is a provider, and it has the level. So, I don't know.
Right. The group is a provider, but if I was to go under this
Thank you. All right. Good night.